All right, welcome to another episode of Rhythm and Brews. Bear with us on the sound quality here. We're having some technical difficulties today, so we're doing our best to record this on a cell phone, believe it or not. But I'm joined by the very funny Lou Ramos. Lou, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man.
I have been wanting to do a Run the Jewels episode for a long time. I randomly found this beer at one of the liquor stores I go to all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of the of Run the Jewels, so I was like, this is so perfect. Like, yeah, this just matches up so perfectly. And I think I saw you posting about them on Facebook, and I was like, it would be awesome to have Lou on the show anyway. So it sounds like a good topic to have you on for. So maybe talk a little bit about how you got into Run the Jewels.
Yeah, absolutely. My buddy put me onto them. Man, this probably, I don't remember how long, because I remember they were out there and I hadn't heard them yet. And then he put me onto them, and I got into it with the second album. We went to the show over at, where the hell was that one? I can't remember the name. It was in Boston somewhere. But we saw them twice. And the second time was at the House of Blues, but I got into him through him. You know, as we make music together, and he's like, "Hey, you listen to this yet?" And I checked it out, and I was like, "Killer Mike and LP." I'm like, "That's a weird, really?"
Yeah.
As I listen to it, I'm like, "This is fucking great."
Yeah. it's such a wild combination, but it works so fucking well. I got into them through my wife, actually. Like, she was like, "I've been listening to Run the Jewels. You got to check this out." And
yeah,
I had heard about them, but never checked out their music.
Yeah.
And she like pushed them on me for a long time. And I don't know why, I just never took the time to try to get into it. And I'm like that basic bitch where the Black Panther trailer came out, and I was like, legend has it, where I was like, this song is fucking dope.
Yeah.
So then I went back and listened to it. First of all, that RTJ3, that like first song run on there, is like one of the best three song runs
absolutely
I've ever heard. And then went back and listened to all the other, we'll get into some of the specific songs in a little bit, but went back and just like love all three of those albums now. And so anyway, it took me, I was like late to the game on it, but I love those guys. I got to see them, my wife Kat and I went to see them open for Lord last year.
Really?
It was such a weird show, man, because it was like just a sea of 14-year-old girls or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like a couple of people who you could tell were there for Run the Jewels, and then they were super funny about it. Like, they were like, "We just pretend like we're the like fat drunk uncles who showed up to your family barbecue." He's like, "I know a lot of parents are going to have the Run the Jewels talk with their kids on the ride home after this." Like, they were, it was a good show, but it was,
oh, I'm sure it was great.
It was awesome. Anyway, hopefully RTJ4 comes out soon, and
yeah, man,
get another tour and that kind of stuff.
Sincerely, I heard they've been working, and they've been putting out singles, you know, the FIFA song, the Venom, song on the Venom soundtrack. But yeah, everything that I've read is pointing that something this year should be happening. So
I just saw a tweet from LP where he said, "What if I told you we just finished recording the best RTJ record yet?"
Oh, man.
So it sounds like they're pretty close to it. Well, let's get into some specific songs, but before we do that, we always do a section we call BYOB.
All right.
And we are drinking Run the Jewels beer. It's called Panther Like a Panther.
All right.
So let me crack this
open. I'm excited.
It's a stout,
Panther Like
I think.
A Panther. I'm the shit.
This looks rich as fuck.
Yeah, that's thick, huh? Holy cow.
It's like chocolate milk.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, man, what's the first song on your playlist?
Like we said when we first talked about it, that first track on the first album, it's like a punch in the mouth, man. That self-titled Run the Jewels, just right off the bat, you turn it on and you're like, this is happening.
The
like,
beat just coming in, yeah.
Everything about it right off the, what I love about the song is this is your introduction to this new combination of talent, and it just sets the record straight, sets the tone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From that point on, you know what you're in for, you know? This is some wild ass shit.
That's such a good way to put it too, because it highlights what's so strong about both of them right away, because the beat is just like so intense and mm-hmm, in your face, mm-hmm. and like got some of that like sci-fi inspiration that's in a lot of the LP beats, and then Killer Mike just like fast and aggressive, like in your face right off the bat, super impressive rhymes, mm-hmm. and yeah, it just hooks you right away and doesn't let up the entire time. I think I told you in our exchange that like my buddy described RTJ as bank robbing music.
As soon as you said that, I was like, that is exactly what it is.
If I ever am robbing a bank, that's like what I'm pumping through my headphones while I'm doing it. And that song in particular is like so representative of that dynamic that I love about that. I think they're like actually robbing a bank or some shit throughout that jewels. Song. Yeah.
Hands down, like it's exactly what it is. It's heist music. You know, you put it on, you're like, I'm gonna take the man down today. I like this. I'm gonna do this shit tonight.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense to start with the first track ever.
Yeah, when you asked me that, I was like, right off the bat, yeah, that would be it. Like my favorite album is definitely 3. I just love it. Everything about that album just slaps, you know. And but that first album, I was just listening to it today, man. Yeah, you know, it was.
I think the first album might have the fewest songs that I go back to over and over. Like I listen to 2 and 3 probably the most,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but that first track is in my top 3 tracks of all of their discography. So
without a doubt.
All right, what's next for you?
Lie, cheat, steal. Oh man, that song. Oh, like when we talk about the current climate of politics and people's financial status, and like you understand that we're all getting robbed. You know what I mean? Like
this is
what's happening, and that's successful. Like people are being successful robbing us blind on a daily basis. And like I hear a track like that, and I'm like, yeah. That's where we're at, man. Like, you know, you lie, cheat, steal, kill, win. Everybody's doing it. You know what
I mean? Yeah.
Like that. And it's just, I don't know, how can I put it? It's like a wake-up call. You know what I'm saying? Like, it combines their energy with like, that wokeness, I guess we'll say. You know what I mean? That social awareness that Killer Mike's always carried. And I think that is one of the better songs of their two styles coming together. Is that.
Yeah.
From a not just a sonic standpoint, but from the lyrics that are in the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Lie, cheat, steal, baby.
Yeah, well, I think when I was like, yeah, it's bank robbing music, and you're like, yeah, like... But also, eat the rich. And
exactly.
I feel like a vibe I get from Killer Mike a lot is like, is a very dog eat dog thing where it's like, this system is like cannibalizing us and like fucking us over. And you can't be passive. You have to punch back. You can't just like,
mm-hmm.
He's like, I love Dr. King, but I think violence might be necessary. And there's something like about that that's so compelling,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where you're just like, yeah, sometimes it feels like that might be what it takes.
Yeah.
I guess it's just like, it's interesting to hear the perspective of like, instead of just saying they hate us and we got to react to that with love, it's like they're kicking the shit out of us and stealing mm-hmm. from us, and we got to turn that back on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to. Like, and I love it. It's like the anthem for that. You know what I mean? The whole, just like you said, the whole mentality of eating rich and like all this greed up top and calling it out. And be like, fuck you, we're just gonna come right back at you.
Yeah,
I love that track is banging, man.
How about two or three more, whatever you're feeling?
Yeah. Talk to Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of that first, that...
The 3-song run,
right.
Yeah.
No, you are, you're right. Because what is it? It's Down, Talk to Me, Legend Has It.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're right. No, and as soon as it opened up, I remember the first time I put it on. I was like, oh shit, the new album came out. And I'm listening to it, I'm like, whoa. And I hit my buddy up. I was like, hey, the first like 4 tracks on this album are insane.
Yeah. I talked on this show before about how it feels like a lot of the time bands or artists or groups will have like two kick-ass albums and then they run out of steam, and it's just like, I don't know if they just used up all their best shit on their first two albums and then struggle through the rest of their record deal or whatever, who knows. But it's so cool to see them come out with their third record and it's just like as hard hitting in your face as anything they've done.
If anything, they're improving.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Which is what should be happening with artists. But the thing is, a lot of times what I've learned over the years of, you know, performing and all sorts of artistic output is that the hunger goes away.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like right now, I'm 39 years old, but I still feel hunger because I haven't gotten to anywhere yet. You know what I'm saying? It's been 20 years of all this stuff, and I still want to get at it. You understand?
Yeah.
But you have your whole life to make your first album, and then all of a sudden, you only got like a year when you signed that contract to make the second one.
Such a good point.
You know, and I can't remember who it was that said that, but I remember hearing that and being like, yeah, I can't. They're not hungry anymore. The hunger's gone. All of a sudden, you're loaded. You got a house in the hills. You know, you had a huge number one hit. Where's that?
You can't really relate to people anymore either. It's the same thing in comedy where it's like once people get huge, they start talking about like airplanes and hotels because that's like the only shit they have exposure to now, and people can't relate to it.
No, 100%. 100%. Yeah. It's an interesting thing to see. You know, there are artists out there that can handle it well and run the jewels off. But these guys have been successful for a while, and the fact that they're putting out the best stuff in their careers now, after, you know, it was the least expected pairing.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, those guys run together?
I forget what the kind of mythology of them meeting was. Yeah. I want to say it was like a dude from Adult Swim who like connected them and was like, you guys should do music together or whatever. And I think Killer Mike heard some of the stuff LP was producing. It was just like, I want to be on all of this.
Yeah, yeah. I know LP produced, I think it was Mike's solo album before the Run the Jewels came out, if I'm not mistaken. He produced that, and then they moved on, you know, and became RTJ.
So that was Talk to Me, right? What's the next track?
The newer one from the Venom soundtrack, Let's Go.
Oh, yeah.
The Royal We. That's a wild track, man.
I didn't see that movie. Is it actually used in it, or is it like a credit song?
It's probably like a credit song, if I'm not mistaken. The movie was like, come on.
Yeah. I was rooting for it a little bit, but by the time it came out, I was like, I just have no interest in this.
I wanted it to be great. I really did. You know what I mean? But we went for my nephew's birthday, and he was like, oh, let's all go see Venom together. I was like, all right, let's do it. I wasn't expecting anything from it. And then we get stuck with these like 13, 14-year-old kids behind us who wouldn't shut up throughout the entire movie. I got up midway through the movie, and I was like, the three of you need to shut the fuck up. And my nephew looks over like, oh. I look at my brother, my brother's like,
that shit's so rude.
You can't talk to him like that. I'm like, I just fucking did, you know? Like, it pretty much ruined the movie for me. But then when I tried to watch a movie at home, it's a bad movie.
Okay.
It's not a very good, there's definitely some cool parts in there. And the soundtrack is cool as shit. Like,
yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that it's just, to me, what I like about that song, it's, I haven't heard new stuff from them coming.
Yeah, you know, sure.
And I'm like chomping.
You're hungry for it. Yeah.
I'm like, I want to hear it. I want some more. And then they dropped this track, and I didn't know it was on there because I hadn't picked up the soundtrack yet. And somebody's like, oh, it's RTJ's on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let me check it out. And it's just like, we're back.
I don't know why, but that song didn't like grab me as much. I think part of it is it felt a little bit like leftovers from Legend Has It.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of the flow is similar in some of the parts and stuff. But I mean, like you said, if you're just craving new RTJ, like it gives that to you. So
I bump it a lot. Really? And you're 100% right. It's it does sound real familiar to the things that they were doing on the last album.
Yeah.
But still, man. And that's probably what it was. It was probably a track that they weren't going to use for anything else. And like, yeah, we'll put it on fucking Venom soundtrack. Let those guys take it.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that's how it works.
Just in terms of like dying for the new stuff, LP will just tweet verses like every once in a while. And he's like, this is from RTJ4. And I'm like, that sounds so, just like reading it, that's dope. And then I can't wait to hear it on a track.
I can't wait.
Yeah, man. I'm surprised they haven't at least like set a date and just been like, working towards it, but I don't know. Maybe the new Star Wars told people you don't set the date and then work towards it.
Yeah, right.
Don't rush the art. Yeah.
Come up with a plan.
Yeah, there you go.
At least an outline, a vague idea as to what you're doing. Yeah. But yeah, that's awesome. That was the reason why I dug that one. The beat on it is insane. And then the last track, what was it? Panther Like a Panther.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Fucking love that shit. I'm listening. I remember the first time I put the song on, because you know now, it's not like you open up a case and you read in credits and everything. It's on Spotify. You're in the car, you put it on. You know what I mean? And the song had come on, and I'm like, this sounds crazy. And then as soon as Trina gets on that hook,
yeah,
what the fuck just happened? I'm like, what? This is the hardest hook I've heard.
Yeah, it's such a shit, one of their
bitch.
Best. One of their best hooks. Yeah.
That is just wild, man.
It's almost like borderline self-parody of the style of hip-hop that's like, I'm the fucking man, but it fucking works.
Yeah.
Like, they just sell it so well and so hard. And so many, they're so bombastic in general. Like, I think about the line where he's like, I refuse to play humble as though my dick itty bitty. I got banana dick, your bitch go ape shit if she hit it.
Yeah.
And which reminds me of the LP line, I got a unicorn horn for a cock. And like, there's just so in your face with the.
Absolutely.
The masculine.
And that line in particular, too. That line in particular, what I love about it is that he doesn't say it.
Yeah, yeah.
As he's about to, the female voice, stop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's just, it's brilliant. So it's little things like that where I see what LP is doing, you know what I mean? He's a hell of a producer, and he is extremely underrated, if you ask me. Like, the fact they haven't gotten anything for these albums, to me, is fucking crazy.
They never been nominated for anything?
I don't know what happened with 3, but RTJ2 should have been nominated for Album of the Year, and it never got it.
That's like, so
yeah.
Stupid.
It's just crazy. It's hard. It's hardcore hip-hop. It's in your fucking face, and it's hitting you with truth. It's hitting you with braggadocio. It's hitting with basically every single style, every single element of hip hop, as far as what it is that we talk about content lyrically. You know what I'm saying? And it's these dudes in their 40s that are just, they've lived this life, and now they're just having fun with this. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, but why don't we just educate them a little bit too?
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, that Killer Mike angle. And LP is out of his goddamn mind. I love it, man.
I love how they've described it too. Because I remember after Killer Mike people got mad after he went on NRA TV or whatever,
talking about
gun stuff or whatever. And LP was like, "Not, we don't agree on everything, but the stuff that we agree is like what RTJ is."
Yeah.
And I just think that's cool that it's like a representation of like who they are as individuals, but like who they are together as a group. Mm-hmm. And these, like you said, these two guys who you never would have expected to like make music together, and it's like some of the coolest music anyone's put out in the past 10 years,
and even in the ever. Like, yeah. I was having this conversation with someone recently, and I'm like, I would put their albums up as all-time hip-hop great albums, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know who they are yet within circles that that I've hung out in over the years. Like, it's just people in their 40s and their 50s who listen to rap music and still think it was great in the 90s and everything fucking fell apart.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't even know who RTJ is, and when I put it on for them, they're like, this is crazy. I'm like, yeah, man, there is still good music coming out, I promise you. But you got to look for it, you know? Like,
yeah, and be open-minded to it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea RTJ existed until, like, the second album came out. I had no clue. My buddy's like, oh, you haven't heard this? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, this is our second album, you know? And he puts me on to a few things like that, and RTJ was one of them.
Yeah. I think some people might react to it, because when I first heard about them, it was like... at Newbury Comics, and I think it was RTJ2 was available on vinyl at Newbury Comics, and so they just like had this like reputation of being like hipster hip hop almost.
Yeah.
And I turns me off necessarily,
but I could
see certain people being like, oh, that's not for me, you know what I mean?
No, when I went to their show, I was like, what the fuck is going on? I look up at my buddy, my talk about an odd pairing. I'm 5'8". My buddy is a 6'7" white dude. My dude cut. So every time I gotta fucking say something to the guy, I'm like, hey, can you come down here real quick? And we went to the show one time, and I looked around. I'm like, ew, this is not the crowd I would expect at a hip hop show. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It was college hipsters left and right. I mean, it made me happy to see that, just the reach of hip hop in general as a culture, and you know, the different types of music now. There's so many genres within it now. It just shows that people love a beat and they want to hear somebody talking to it. And Run the Jewels is one of the best I've ever heard, to be honest, at doing that. So,
you got any honorable mentions?
Yeah. What was it? Oh Mama, RTJ3. My mama said that I'm not living right. I'm like, that reminds me of growing up. I was a pain in the ass, you know what I mean? The shit that I put my mom through, you know, from running drugs out of her house to fucking throwing parties and having her, you know, deal with all that nonsense. And it reminds me of all the times that she would be like putting me out on my ass. You know, my mom kicked me out of the house 5 times.
Really?
5 times. The last time I left was because I knocked somebody up. That's a true story. So that song really gets me. And Down, also on RTJ3. Banana Clipper.
On RTJ1.
Yeah, RTJ1 with that big boy.
Yeah, that one's awesome. That's one of the ones I go back to on RTJ1 all the time. Mm-hmm. For me, I love Hey Kids.
Yes,
that's just another one that's so... That's a Bank Robin jam.
Yep.
And I love Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck. It's a little bit weird to have Zach De La Rocca on that, but I heard LP talking about it. And he was just like, I've always been into heavy music, and I don't care what genre it is. But so it didn't feel weird for me to have the dude from Rage Against the Machine do a verse on this track. And Killer Mike's first verse on that song is just so...
He smashes it.
So awesome. I think that was like one of the first things I heard where I was like, I'm fucking in love with this. Like, these beats are everything that I want out of hip hop. And then I don't know anybody that's doing rhymes as clever and as satisfying as that. Like that line where he's like, where the fuck the warden, and when you find him, we don't kill him. We just waterboard him. We're killing them for freedom because they tortured us for boredom. Even if some good ones die, fuck it, the Lord will sort them. It gave me fucking chills, man. And it's so relatable from that angle of like, in the face of aggressive oppression, you gotta be aggressive back or you're never gonna get anywhere.
Absolutely.
Whether you agree with that or not, it's just such a compelling, he's such a compelling voice for that approach to social justice.
No, without a doubt. Mike understands human nature, the nature of man, the nature of men, you know what I mean? I'm not a fan of guns, but I know they're a necessary evil, and if you don't have one, it's probably not a good idea in this day and age. And I get that, and he really speaks to that through his music.
And also let's not get into the guns thing a little bit, because we might talk about that a little bit in our drinking game.
Okay, cool.
Believe it or not. Which actually, that might be a good... You have anything else to say on this before we switch to that?
No, those are the songs I wanted to talk about. So,
all right, so we're going to do... our drinking game today is going to be Jeopardy style.
Okay.
So you're going to have three categories I'm going to give you.
Okay.
And for each of them, you're going to, instead of being like 200 points, 400 points, 600 points, it's drinks.
Okay.
So you could be like, I want that category for one drink, I want that category for two drinks, or for three drinks.
Okay.
If you get it right, I have to take those drinks. If you get it wrong, you have to take those drinks.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
So your categories are Gun the Jewels, Bank Robbing Music, and Mike Killers. And I'll tell you what those are when you pick from those categories. All right, so where do you want to start?
Let's go Bank Robbing Music.
All right, cool. So this is an audio round.
Okay.
I'm going to play music from famous heist movies.
Okay.
And you got to answer questions about
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. This sounds like fun.
All right, so the first one here Oh, well, actually, you got to tell me. You want the one, two, or three drink question.
Let's start with the one. Work our way
up. All right. You just got to tell me what heist movie this song is from.
Okay.
And I can give you multiple choice if you're...
I'll take a multiple choice. I don't recognize it.
All right, sure. So your options are Ocean's 8, Baby Driver, and Heat.
Oh, it's Baby Driver.
It is.
Yeah. All
right, so I'll take a drink.
Yeah.
All right.
I was not a big fan of that movie. I'm in the minority there, yeah.
I didn't hate it. Some people I knew were like obsessed with it, and I was like, oh, it was a decent heist movie.
There's a few people that were just like, oh, it's like the greatest movie ever. I'm like,
one of my friends was like, it's the film of the year, or whatever. I don't know about all that.
Shut up. Yeah. Watch more movies, man.
Yeah. All right. You want to stick with that category, or you want to do something else?
Yeah. Well, how many are we doing?
You got three questions for each category.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's go to what was the first one?
The first category is Gun the Jewels.
All right.
You going to do the first one of those?
Yeah, fuck it.
All right, so what you got to do in this category is tell me if this is a quote from Killer Mike.
Okay.
Or from NRA spokesperson Wayne LaPierre.
Okay.
Okay. So this is, let's start with one drink.
Okay.
And when we say assault weapons, we ignore the fact that the Second Amendment says, quote, in case of tyranny, unquote. If a soldier or a cop can own a version of an AR-15, I'm not comfortable in a country where I'm being asked to be unarmed and they are not.
Killer Mike.
That's Killer Mike, yeah. I'll take the drink. You want to try one from Mike Killers, or you want to...
Yeah,
all right. So for this one, I'm going to ask you to do an impression of a comedian in the local Worcester scene.
All right.
You want to start with one?
Yeah,
one
drink? Do it.
For one drink, you got to do an impression of Kevin Knightley. Here's the thing. The odds are in your favor in the sense that even if it's bad, as long as you try, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. So I took the trash out last night, and some stupid raccoon tried jumping up my asshole.
That's pretty good. You got his cadence down, if not his voice. So I'll give that to you. I'll take a drink for that.
All right,
so you've tackled one from each category. What do you want to do next?
Let's do the second one of the first one we did.
The audio round?
Yeah. I'm having fun.
All right. So what heist movie is this song from?
That's an Ocean's movie. No? Wait, no. Is it Ocean's 11?
It's not. I can give you multiple choices.
Okay, give me multiple choices.
But you eliminated one of my multiple choices already.
Okay. Throw another one.
So this is either Widows or Dead Presidents.
I saw Widows. Dead Presidents?
It is, yep.
Yeah. I just saw Widows. I don't remember the song on there.
I like that movie.
It was good. It was good. I was surprised as shit. I was like, this is not bad, man.
I like the twists in it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. We just going round robin. All right.
Yeah.
So your next Gun the Jewels quote, there are many politicians willing to sacrifice the Second Amendment as the first step in the homogenization of American culture.
And it was either Mike or who was the guy?
Wayne LaPierre, the NRA spokesman.
Wayne LaPierre. That's Wayne LaPierre.
That is Wayne LaPierre. Yeah, that's right. All right. So then I'll take two drinks. And we'll do, you want to do the two drinks for Mike Killers?
Yeah. Fuck it. We're going right down the line.
All right. You got to do an impression of the very funny Dave Williams.
So I came home and I saw a turtle. I don't know why it's always a turtle. Well, I don't have a turtle.
All right, I like
that was that. Terrible.
He's one of those ones where, like, there are certain things in his cadence that are hard for me to not appropriate, where I'm just like, I gotta actively not say that like Dave Williams would say it.
Yep. Because it sticks. You know what I mean? He's one of my favorite comics on in our scene. You know what I mean? He's
absolutely
just amazing. Like the things that he writes and just how he comes up with it.
He's got such a unique cadence and voice too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry for anybody listening who has no idea who the fuck these people
are. Yeah, I know.
But very funny local Worcester comedians. Back to the audio round, you think?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So this one, this is the three drink question. We'll see how hard you think this is. You got to tell me which Ocean's movie this song is from.
Okay. Oh, that's 12.
You're right.
Yeah. Ocean's 12, baby.
All right, I think you got one more Gun the Jewels here, yeah.
Okay.
So, last one here. When you hear politicians who won't fix the broken system talk about expanding it, don't buy it.
Wayne LaPierre.
That is Wayne LaPierre, yeah. Getting shit-faced over here. I think that brings you to your last one here. For three drinks, you've got to do your best impression of Ian Matthew Sargent.
Oh, fucking... So I threw my coat on the hanger and said, "How's it hanging?"
Okay. That was your best one. I'm going to drink the shit out of these drinks because, yeah, that one you nailed his cadence, his delivery, and it was the kind of joke he would tell.
It's always like that punny stuff. A funny story about Ian. I was hanging out with a friend at Nick's once, and this human being, female, that I met there was exactly like Ian, and I come to find out it's his sister. And they are so funny. I fucking love them, man. Apparently there is more.
Really?
I need to be at this family reunion and see all this madness.
I love him, man. He's like so different than anybody else in the
Absolutely.
Scene, and like so he reminds me. I tell him all the time. And I think it's part of his inspiration. He reminds me of Robin Williams so much. He's
Absolutely.
Just like manic on the stage in a way that nobody else is. I feel it shames me because it makes me feel like I'm just a poser, like copying every other stand-up comedian that's ever lived, and he's up there doing something
completely
unique and different.
His own, you know, and I respect it so much. And listen, man, when he like all of us when we first started, it was, you know, we'd always be like,
yeah.
I had no idea what he was doing. I didn't understand. And then at some point, it's like he nailed his just like everybody else. You know what I mean? You go
figured
through
out
the
his
reps.
Rhythms and,
you go through the reps until you figure something out, and then it works. And then one night I saw him, and he fucking destroyed. I was like, boom, my brain was I was dying laughing.
It's so interesting. You hear that a lot from like famous comedians who came up together, and how they used to like shit on people who are famous now. I forget who it was, maybe like Pete Holmes or somebody like that, just being like, in the Chicago scene, everybody used to make fun of Hannibal Buress for how bad he was at open mics. And then, like, we came home to Chicago one year. Hannibal did a show, and we're like, holy shit, Hannibal is, like, fucking hilarious now.
Yeah,
Everybody just has to figure it out, I guess.
Yeah, it's how it is. That's the craft. You know what I mean? It's we grind it out. We suck at life, and we don't drive our cars into, you know, walls or off cliffs on the way home.
You drove off a cliff?
I have thought about it a couple times. nothing like, you know, that drive home after a bomb. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, fucking, drive this thing off the fucking bridge.
I think we were both at this open mic recently where the host was talking about he had had a recent bombing experience and how brutal it was. And, mm-hmm. and it, yeah, it is, you can't talk yourself out of being depressed by it. There's no logical way out of it. It's just like, you got to stew in it and like pick yourself up. And,
yep. You got to be strong.
yeah. or get out of the game.
Like, yeah.
I mean, like after enough of them, I would be like, all right, I need to get the fuck out of this.
Yep. But, no, absolutely.
All right, you got any other final thoughts on RTJ? Anything you want to plug for yourself? This will probably come out mid-February, I'd say, maybe like okay. the third week of February.
You know, we're doing open mic night every Tuesday at the Pint on Shrewsbury Street in Worcester. We'll be there. And every last Wednesday at Compass Tavern is an open mic there as well. That one's coming back this month.
Okay.
And on the music side of things, look out for Whitey Black Brown. We're going to be dropping independently dropping an LP later this year. So look forward to that.
Right on. Well, thanks for coming on, Lou. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely.
For everybody listening, here's Steve. On behalf of the class's masses, we showed up, ski masses, pigs and asses, the murder asses. Lift up our glasses and watch your palaces burn to ashes. Fucking fascist, who the fuck are you to get 50 lashes? All cause I'm motivated, stimulated, never smoking, simulated, happy and burning hashes. Killer, killer, diddle with them like you're swilling, get him, hit him, got him, shot him, and flip the mattress. Woo! I'm the man, bitch, got big ideas, got plans to rock. Any Rothschild living in Bill Gates in the ghost of Jobs. Yeah, I said that I'm in it. I ain't flinching it. Marshawn Lynching it. Run through a motherfucker face like internet. Internet, domain imminent. We the preeminent. Killing this, winning this. Spitting this, ready, raw rap shit. Rhyme ridiculous. Enemy grave, he digging it. Then we pissing it. Us go to hell, we pinning it. Getting it.